Oma Gana Tamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Aiham Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakhan Svitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchina Gorangi Radhe Brinda Vaneshwari Vrishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 31. Narada instructs the Prachetas, text number 15. Yata eva surat prabhavanti vara punaha cha tasmin pravishanti kale bhutani bhumau stira Jangamani Yatha Harau Eva Guna Prabhaha Yatha Eva Surat Prabhavanti Vara Punascha Tasmin Pravashanti Kale Bhutani Bhumau Stira Jangamani Tatahara Veva Guna Prabhaha Yata As Eva Certainly Surat Suryat From the sun Prabhavanti is generated. Varha, water. Punaha, again. Cha, and. Tasmin, unto it. Pravishanti, enters. Kale, in due course of time. Bhutani, all living entities. Bhumau, to the earth. Stira, not moving. Jangamani, and moving. Tata, similarly. Harau, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva, certainly, guna pravaha, emanation of material nature, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. During the rainy season, water is generated from the sun, and in due course of time, during the summer season, the very same water is again absorbed by the sun. Similarly, all living entities moving and inert are generated from the earth, and again after some time, they all return to the earth as dust. Similarly, everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in due course of time, everything enters into Him again. Please repeat. During the rainy season, water is generated from the sun. And in due course of time, during the summer season, the very same water is again absorbed by the sun. Similarly, all living entities, moving and inert, are generated from the earth. And again, after some time, they all return to the earth as dust. Similarly, everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in due course of time, everything enters into Him again. Purport. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, impersonalist philosophers cannot understand how everything comes out from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then merges into Him again. As Brahma Samhita 5.40 confirms, Yasya prabhava pravato jagaranda koti koti shvashesha vasudadi vibhuti binam tad brahma nishkalam ananta shesha bhutam govindamadi purusham tamahang vajami. Transcendental rays emanate from the body of Krishna, and within those rays, which are the Brahman effulgence, everything is existent. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Matstani Sarabhutani. Although Krishna is not personally present everywhere, His energy is the cause of all creation. The entire cosmic manifestation is nothing but a display of Krishna's energy. The two examples given in this verse are very vivid. During the rainy season, the rain, by rejuvenating the production of vegetables on earth, enables man and animals to obtain living energy. When there is no rain, food is scarce, and men and animals simply die. All vegetables, as well as moving living entities, are originally products of the earth. They come from the earth, and again they merge into the earth. Similarly, the total material energy is generated from the body of Krishna, and at such a time, the entire cosmic manifestation is visible. When Krishna winds up His energy, everything vanishes. This is the different is explained in a different way in the Brahma Samhita, 5.48. Yasyai kanishva sita kalam atava lambya Jivanti loma vilaja jagarandanata Vishnor mahan sahiha yasya kalavishesho Govindamadi purushan tamahang vijami. The entire material creation comes from the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the same time, and at the time of annihilation, again enters into Him. This process of creation and dissolution is made possible by the breathing of the Mahavishnu, and is only a plenary portion of Krishna. Yataiva suryat pravandivara punaschitasmin pravishanti kale Bhutani bhumaus tirajangamani tathahara veva guna pravaha. During the rainy season, water is generated from the sun, and in the due course of time, During the summer season, the very same water is again absorbed by the sun. Similarly, all living entities moving and inert are generated from the earth, and again, after some time, they all return to the earth as dust. Similarly, everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in due course of time, everything enters into Him again. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatim Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatyade Satarane. Here it explains Krishna is the cause behind everything. So being the cause behind everything, He's the cause behind everything that we're experiencing. So this is a little inconceivable for most people. And even Krishna says this is His achintya shakti, nichamatstani bhutani paishame yogam aishvaram. It's His yoga aishvaram. Bhuta brinacha bhuta stom mama bhuta mahatmanaha. Nichamatstani bhutani paishame yogam aishvara bhuta brinacha bhuta stom mama bhuta maha. What's the last word? This is His inconceivable energy that He can manifest everything in the material world at a certain time, and then without any attachment, He annihilates everything. Bhutane chatmini, sarvasheya pranashanti, kapasheya pranashanti, kapa dalvishri jamyaham. Sarva, get a Bhagavad Gita, so I get the right. Sarva, kapasheya pranashanti, kapa dalvishri jamyaham. At the beginning of the creation, all of the entities, they become manifest from Krishna. Sarvabhutani Kunteya Prakriti Antimamikam Kapashe Panasyanti Kapa Dalvishri Jamyaham. So in the beginning of the creation, Krishna sends forth all the living entities. And all the living entities were included within that. It's not that we're talking about someone else. We're talking about ourselves too. We were in, unless we, this is our first anniversary of Brahma's birth, and we're celebrating too for our first birth here in the material world. If this is not our first manifestation, then we were at one time in the body of Mahavishnu, and then Mahavishnu breathed us out and we entered into some body. And when He breathes in again, then we'll enter into that body if we're not back in the spiritual world. Even Narada Muni, at the time of leaving his body, then Brahma breathed him in and then breathed him out. Mahavishnu breathed him in and then breathed him out. But he came out as Narada Muni, which is probably better than most spirit souls come out as. So, it is not that one time Krishna breathes in and then He breathes out and the material manifestation comes about. But He says, Prakritim Swama Avashtabhya Vishrijami Punak Punak Bhuta Gramam Imam Krishnam Avasham Prakritir Vashat. The whole cosmic order is under me, and by my desire is automatically, by my will is automatically manifested again and again, and under my will it is annihilated. So here we have Punak Punak is in this verse, again and again. Although it's going on again and again, punas punas charvita charvananam, it is the same thing, not only day after day, or life after life, it's the same thing, Brahma after Brahma, breath after breath. But we're thinking it's going to be something different. We're thinking that by technology, when the iPad 20 comes out, then our lives will be perfect, or whatever it is. We're hoping that by technology, by scientific advancement, somehow it's going to be different. Although every day people are doing the same thing. They're eating, they're sleeping, they're mating, and they're defending. Whether they had an iPad or an IBM computer, or they have a rocket ship that can take you to the moon. If we go to the moon, people will be eating, sleeping, mating, defending there too. Therefore, it is simply the same thing over and over and over again. But the hope that it's going to be different is what keeps us in the material world. That this time, it's going to be real love. I've just been practicing. And this time I got it together, and it's going to be perfect. Even Radha and Krishna will be envious. But if we take Krishna's word for it, because he's been doing this since time immemorial, which is billions and trillions and quadrillion lifetimes of Brahma, he pretty much knows, because he's been manifesting the cosmic creation again and again, so he pretty much knows, and he says it's going to be the same thing over and over again. Don't expect anything new. In any case, Krishna says, Nachamatstani Karmani, Ibananti Dananjaya, Udasi Nadvarasi Nama Saktam Teshu Karmasu. That all those work cannot bind me, I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. We cannot understand Krishna completely simply by observing the cosmic manifestation. If we look at the cosmic manifestation, one may think that God is something like Atlas, holding up the earth with his hands and heavy burden, or maybe a little bit more powerful than Atlas. He's manifesting universes again and again and then breathing them in. So it seems that God is more or less pretty much bored also with the whole thing, but he just does it because he has nothing else to do. Simply lie down there in the cosmic ocean, causal ocean, breathe out universes, and breathe them in again. And watch the living entities as part of his pastimes, as a Mayavadi's thing. The impersonal Brahman became bored, and therefore he'd have some pastime, manifested illusion, and keeps on manifesting until it gets bored and then goes back to normal, everyday nothing. So there wouldn't be very much to be appreciable, or we couldn't appreciate Krishna very much if everything was just this cosmic manifestation of old age, disease, and death. One would wonder what kind of person, if there is a person, behind this cosmic manifestation. Therefore, Krishna says, there's more to it. Here, I'm simply acting as a judge. It is not my whole personality manifested within the cosmic manifestation. But here my personality as a judge is manifested, the Ishvara, who is simply sensing nadate kasi chit papam na papam sukritim vibhu. He's simply sensing the desires of living entities, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So by association, by our past activities, automatically we're different material desires are generated within our minds, and unless we have superior knowledge, superior intelligence, and realization, we naturally become attached to some conception and therefore become entangled in it. Just like a fly is more or less free, but it becomes attracted to a spider web, it gets entangled. Why it becomes attracted to the spider web? That's the free will of the fly. No one tells the fly, fly into the spider web. But because of his own desire, he flies into the spider web, and then he complains. Why did I get caught? I was innocent. No, he misused his free will, and he got caught. Similarly, material desires are arising. Maya is attracting us, saying, you can be the Lord, you can be the enjoyer, And even if you can't be, at least have a good time pretending you are. And therefore we become entangled in the material desires which produce activities, because there's thinking, feeling, and willing. And when it comes out to the stage of willing, especially in Kali Yuga, then it produces reactions. And the part of the reaction is that more desires will arise in the future. Maybe of a higher mode, maybe of a lower mode, maybe of the same mode. But desires will arise, and by our nature, or by our own conditioning, we may become attracted again to some material desire and become further entangled. Therefore, that's punak punas charvita charvananam, simply chewing the chewed, although Krishna is not responsible. Krishna never says, my dear living entities, please come to the material world, fill up this universe, otherwise why my creation will have no meaning. Therefore, help me out, come here, become entangled, and I can watch you suffer life after life, and I'll have a good time doing it. No, Krishna never tells us to come to the material world. As a matter of fact, he puts a big sign, keep out danger. Just like some youths may see a big sign, a big fence with barbed wire and growling dogs, and it says, keep out danger, electric fence, man-eating dogs. And the children, they think, oh, let's, who believes these things? Let's go in and pet the dogs. So if they climb up the fence and they get electrocuted, or they make it over the fence and get eaten by the dogs, who's to blame? It's not the person who created the fence and the electric wires and the dogs, put the dogs in there. He's telling you to keep out. But if you're so foolish as to ignore his warnings and climb into the fence with the man-eating dogs inside and you get bit, and then you complain, why did this man put the dogs in here? He put the dogs in there so you'd stay out. But because you didn't want to listen, therefore you got bit. Similarly, Krishna advertises that this material world is dukkhaliyam ashashvatam. And people say, oh, who's Krishna? He's so pessimistic. He doesn't know what real love is. He doesn't know what romance is here. Therefore he's saying it's dukkhaliyam. He doesn't realize that there's a lot of happiness. You just have to take the good with the bad. No, Krishna advertises this place is full of misery and it's temporary and you're going to suffer, and people say, well, who's Krishna? He thinks he's God or something. Trying to tell everyone what to do. So as soon as we take that attitude, then we get into trouble. It is not that Krishna is the fault for creating a world and then telling us that this world acts according to certain actions and reactions, and I'll have to, by my potencies, have to put you in different circumstances according to what you deserve and desire. Therefore, don't come here and create an entanglement by accepting material desires and then become entangled in them. Instead, try to go back to your original nature, where you're not trying to lord over an illusory creation. In the spiritual world, actually, no one is really trying to become so much the Lord and the enjoyer. Everyone is trying to become the servant. Even Krishna himself likes to be a servant. But here, we're falsely trying to become the so-called lords of an illusory kingdom, where we're actually not becoming the lords, we remain a servant, but only with the idea that we become the lord. And it's being manifested by Krishna's energies, and therefore we can't blame Krishna for our foolishness. Krishna says, nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. It's all up to us. The embodied souls, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. So they don't really see how Krishna remains perfectly a loving personality, unblemished by his creation and the annihilation of the material world. he remains completely neutral. So this is yatakasha sito nityam vayu saratrago mahan tathasarvani bhutani mastani tipadarya. That, behold my mystic opulence, although I'm every, just like the air is blowing everywhere, but it always remains within space, so know that all the cosmic manifestation is within me. So just as the space is aloof from the air, although without the space there would be no room for the air to blow in, but the space is not responsible for the activities of the air, although it's providing the opportunity for the air to blow. Similarly, Krishna creates everything by his energies and then leaves up to living entities to decide whether to remain entangled in the material world or to go back to the spiritual world. He tries to encourage them. He doesn't sit aloof watching the whole thing on television. He himself personally comes and tells the living entities, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vaishasi Satyam Te Prati Jani Priyosimi. He tells the living entities, you should develop a relationship with me by thinking about me. Don't reject me. Develop your relationship with me. Sarva Dharma Prachaja Mame Kamasharanam Raja. Take shelter of me. Give up all these other ideas that are being produced by your imagination or by the, as a result of your desiring to rule it over the material nature and enjoy it. Therefore, you're being presented so many subtle and gross opportunities to do that, to so-called do that, to give that up, surrender to me, and I'll protect you from all the different problems that are arising from material existence. The real problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, part of our jnana and vairagya is simply to come to the platform of accepting that whatever happens is by the will of Krishna, which is not so easy to accept. That everything is under Krishna's control and Krishna is all good. It is said that bhonam janmanamante jnanamamam prabhadete vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabha. After many, many births of cultivating transcendental knowledge, one may come to the understanding how Vasudeva Krishna is everything. So that takes a lot of understanding and experience. To understand that there is a Vasudeva, he's in our heart, and he's actually our friend. He's not sitting there judging us. Oh, he did something bad. He's finished. Wait till I get my hands on him. Wait till the next birth. He'll be lucky if he becomes a hog. Might as well begin grunting now. No, God is Krishna, Ishvara Sarabhutanam Ridesha Arjuna Tishtati. He's in the heart, but he's actually simply neutral if the living entity rejects him. And if the living entity accepts him, then tam eva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharata tat prasthanam prasthi. No. Let's get this one wrong. Tam eva sharanam gacha sara bhavena bharata stasyam tat prasada param shantim stanam prapsi shasvatam. Tam eva sharanam gacha. Krishna is asking us to surrender to him. Tam eva sharanam gacha sara bhavena bharata. And all, with all feeling, with all, in every respect, surrender to him. Tat prasadam param shantim. And by such prasad, by the mercy of Krishna, will obtain param shantim, the supreme peace. Stanam prapsi shasvatam, and the eternal abode. So Krishna is giving us only good advice, and if we accept that advice, then we'll be benefited, we'll make advancement towards eternity. And if we reject that advice, or ignore that advice, then we have to stay in the material world, either in the heavenly planets, or in Brahmaloka, or as a mouse in someone's house. In any case, Krishna is not responsible for what we do, but he's trying to help us to the best he can. So it's all our responsibility where we're going to go and when we're going to get there. All Krishna can do is help and try to send his representatives to help us. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the Super Soul, he's doing everything he can. The question is what we're doing. That's going to be the determining factor. Not that I'm a victim. You know, how did God put such a great soul like me? How did bad things happen to good people? No, in the material world, no one's a good person. If you go to a jail and you find that there's a bunch of criminals and they're all complaining that, how is it I got here? I was innocent. How could all these prisoners be all innocent? Similarly, everyone is thinking, I'm a good person. How did I ever get here? There must have been some mistake. No, we got here because we're criminals. What exactly our criminal mentality is, that may be different from what we understand to be criminal and not criminal. If you tell someone, oh, you stole from God, and therefore you're being punished, they laugh. Who cares about God? There is no God. So they may deny God, they may even accept God. They may even pray to God, give me everything I desire to stay in the material world and be punished more. And if God tells us to give us all this up, then we think, who needs such a God? So what can Krishna do? All he can do is give us good advice, and then the rest is up to us. And if we think Krishna is just an ordinary person, and his advice can be accepted or rejected, then we become, it's at our own risk. So, thank you. I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes. Well, if you actually go to the Holy Dham and enter into the Holy Dham, then you won't take birth again. If you just place your body there and your mind is somewhere else, then you'll assuredly take birth again. Because even when you're in the Holy Dham, you're somewhere else. You're not in the Holy Dham. So it's a question of absorption. Even here, this is just as good as the Holy Dham. But the question is, where is our mind? And even when we come here, well, the beginning of bringing the mind here is just to give up all the static. For instance, if you have a radio and you're trying to listen to what the program is saying, then you have to tune in the radio so you can actually hear what they're saying. But if we're not tuned in, if our minds are kind of fuzzy because we're not properly using our intelligence, then we haven't really tuned in. So once we tune in, then we can start entering into the Holy Dham. And in Nectar Devotion it says, after explaining especially the 64 different activities of devotional service, many amazing things have been described about how the Kumaras, they smell the tulsi leaves and the sandalwood paste on the lotus feet of Narayan, and they immediately change from impersonalist to personalist, to pure devotees. So these are described. They're not really exaggerations, but it doesn't mean that everyone's going to experience the same thing immediately. Some souls who are very advanced may get the full experience, and those who are less advanced, they'll get less of experience, according to their personal sincerity and their desire and their advancement. So we don't take it as an exaggeration. They're given to inspire us to perform the activity. If you come to the temple every day and see the deity, then you'll get an extra piece of, you know, a maha. Then hardly anyone will come. You think, what's the value of it? If you're told that just by following the Rath Yatra, the denizens of the heavenly planet see anyone who's following the Rath Yatra parade as being four-handed. Then people will become more inspired. Yeah, I always wanted four hands. It would be easier to cook with. So these things are given to encourage us. And they're possible for some rare souls. And it's even possible for some unrare souls, common souls, if they sincerely follow the process. One day they may come to such a transcendental experience. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Shmad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Thank you.